Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Well, it is freedom. Never takes a break, does it? Wow, never takes a break. Absolutely love it. Welcome to the safest radio studios in all of America, these Armed American Radio Daily Defense studios, fresh off of the huge monster cast yesterday. What a dynamite program that was. Oh, my gosh. I hope you were tuned in yesterday for the full 3 hours. Hundreds of cities from those toasty beaches of South Florida all the way to those crab fishing vessels of Alaska listening into Armed American Radio across the country yesterday got a really good treat. It was the day before the Monster Show, which was Saturday. I was at the was emceeing the Georgia Carey annual dinner. And the grassroots organizations, big stuff, got to put a plug in for them. Bloomberg's fighting you out in the streets. It's the grassroots organizations that are keeping your head above water. AZCDL, Arizona Citizens Defense League. Got some information on what they've been able to do out in Arizona. We'll talk about that later in the show. I might not even be able to get to it today, but save it for tomorrow or another rainy day. It's just proof positive of why you need to join your grassroots organization in whatever state you live in. I happen to have a list, by the way, and I'll go over that list with you at some point on a subsequent show of your organizations. It's safe to say that if you want to reach out to me to point you in the right direction, please do. I'm more than happy to give you the information about where you need to be in your state. mark@armedamericanradio.org. The Monster Cast last night was absolutely wonderful. Moved pretty quick. Alan Gottlieb in the first half hour of the broadcast gave us some amazing information. I don't want to give it away and steal the thunder. I want you to go back and listen to it. I don't have enough time to paraphrase it now anyway. Really, really, really positive stuff. Of course, he had A.W.R. Hawkins. Jerry Henry from GeorgiaCarry.org jumped in, talked a little bit about the grassroots. A.W.R. Hawkins popped in. He was on Breitbart News, Sirius XM channel 125 or Breitbart channel yesterday, and we had to kind of shift a segment so that he could knock out Breitbart News and then jump on with us. Move rapid fire with him. Lots of happy ending stories. What is a happy ending story? A happy ending story is when the good guy wins or good gal wins and the bad guy loses. That's a happy ending story. If the good guy dies in the process, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Should have found another line of work. I'm not here to have sympathy for you. I celebrate the life of the potential victim and the fact that that person is still a mother, a father, and their significant other isn't a widow, and the children have mothers and fathers. That's what this is all about. It's not about the death of someone at the hands of a victim. If that happens, that happens. That's the criminal's fault. That's why we have felony murder, by the way. If you participate and someone dies, you're also charged with murder. It's the same concept. And then hour three, Andrew Branca, the law of self-defense. Man, oh man, I got to tell you, I love conversing with Andrew. He and I know each other pretty well, so you benefit from a conversation that you would hear if you were sitting at a table next to us, listening to us talk about this stuff. But a wealth of information from Andrew Branca and the law of self-defense. If you carry a firearm, you had better pay attention. I know you read the little blurbs in your local papers. Self-defense here. And happy ending stories is what I'm talking about. But I want you to remember at the bottom of every one of those happy ending stories, and I read you a couple yesterday, it says the investigation continues. Yeah, that's right. Because the investigators don't know you. They don't know you're the good guy. As Andrew reminds us, they weren't there. The jury wasn't there. The prosecutors weren't there. The defense attorneys weren't there. The judge wasn't there. If you happened to had to kill someone to save your tail, that person isn't there. It's your word against the systems, and different witnesses see different things. So make sure to give that a listen, the law of self-defense. You can also go to lawofselfdefense.com. He's got a promo code, AAR. I had no idea he was going to give us this yesterday. 20% off of everything at his website. Start with the book, The Law of Self-Defense. Use the promo code AAR at checkout. You get 20% right off the top. It's good for a week. And it also includes classes. Some of those classes, that's going to save you a couple $100. So if you've ever wanted to take a Law of Self-Defense class with Andrew, bam, use the code AAR and whack 200 bones right off of it, depending on what class you're taking. That's a significant savings. And I want to thank Andrew for making that available to us and to you as an Armed American Radio listener. Yesterday, live on the air, I had no idea he was going to do that. So very generous, but for gosh sakes, at least take the 20% off the book, the law of self-defense. It is, as in the title, the gosh, don't miss this stuff if you carry a gun. It's the indispensable guide, and that's what it says in the title, and it's for a reason. So make sure to head over and get that. Big stuff. And listen to the program. It was a good one. All right, Dear Abby. Remember Dear Abby? Got herself in a little kerfuffle with the anti-gunners. Oh, boy. Here we go, right? So we're going to tackle it here on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense today. I have two great guests for you. My first one is someone who is near and dear to my heart, someone I've known for a long time. I consider a very, very dear friend, someone who, while they may be across the country, is never far away. And you have friends in your life like that also, someone you know you can pick the phone up, call, and rely on instantly. I'm talking about one of the greatest trainers, one of the greatest voices for gun owners, one of, founders. I can't say founders, it's not the right word, but when you talk about women and firearms, there's very few people that are as well respected as my next guest. She is also the co-author of my first book, Lessons from Armed America, Kathy Jackson. Welcome to the show, Kathy. Wonderful to have you here. How you doing?
Life is good. Thank you so much for having me on.
I could have kept going and going and going, and then the half hour would have ended, and I would have had to say, and we're going to bring her on tomorrow, because that's how long it took me just to get your intro out. Man, it's so good to talk to you on the air. And listener, you're in for a real treat here. Kathy, I'm going to blindside. You're not going to catch you off guard here, but I want you to hear this little kerfuffle, right?
Okay.
From Dear Abby. Always thought to be an expert on all things etiquette, right? Isn't that what we think of Dear Abby? What do you think of when you think of Dear Abby?
I remember, I'm going to give myself away for how old I am. Mark, I actually remember reading her columns in a Dead Tree newspaper.
Well, you know what? Exactly. And we'll do this. We're both old enough to remember Dear Abby is not the original Dear Abby. Dear Abby's the daughter of the original mom. Abigail Van Buren is, and her daughter pens it under that name, you know, because it's her daughter. That's how. So, yeah, we go back, and I do it too. I give everybody away my birthday. I'm 55 years old. I don't mind. I know more now than I did 55 years ago. I can promise you that. But she's often thought of, right, as the expert on all things etiquette.
Yeah.
But she had to apologize. Now, the way the media phrases this, she had to apologize. No, she didn't have to do anything. She could have said, go pound salt and get out of my face and quit mincing, trying to mince all my words and jumble everything up. But she did apologize. And here's what got me. It was the June edition of her column. Her name is Jean Phillips, but she writes under Abigail Van Buren. Told a mom from New Jersey that it was, quote-unquote, off-putting to ask other parents if they have guns in their home before allowing her daughter to play at their house. And here's part of what she said. Because you are concerned for your child's safety, why not offer to have the kids visit your house for play dates? I'm sure many of the parents will be glad to have some free time, and it shouldn't offend anyone. Well, here's the original. So what I'll do is I'll read it and her answer, and we'll spend the next segment talking about it. Is that okay? Because I want everybody to hear your advice.
That works for me.
All right. Dear Abby, I'm a first-time mom of a toddler I suffer from and am being treated for anxiety issues. Abby, I'm having trouble finding the balance on gun safety and awareness in other people's homes, especially if my daughter will be visiting. I grew up in a household where my father hunted and had guns in the house. However, he stored them safely in a locked cabinet and was the only one with access to the key. He also stored ammunition separately. Where do I draw the line? Do I ask everyone whose house I'll be going to whether or not they have guns? What are the appropriate questions? Do I ask where they are stored and who has access? What else should I ask? Or should I mind my own business? I know the question won't be appreciated by everyone because it will seem like I'm judging or questioning their judgment. First-time mom in New Jersey. Well, first of all, New Jersey. Okay. Tough being a gun owner in New Jersey. But regardless, first-time mom. If you start asking other parents whether they have guns in their homes and how they store them, your questions might be off-putting. Because you are concerned for your child's safety, why not offer to have the kids visit your house for play dates? I'm sure many of the parents will be glad to have some free time, and it shouldn't offend anyone.
Seems pretty straightforward to me. I mean, Mark, you know what? About 50% of the households in this country have a gun inside them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, let's ask if people have guns and interrogate them about how they store them. First of all, if you don't trust their judgment to lock the guns up, why would you trust their honesty to answer that question?
You know, that's a great point, and that's why I wanted to bring you in here today. I want to go back to part of the column because, of course, who got involved in the dust-up? None other than the Brady campaign and the rest of the quote-unquote faux safety advocates, gun safety advocates, and we all know what they are. They don't teach classes. They don't teach those moms anything about storing guns. They don't even talk to them about it. They just want the guns
from a mile away.
Of course, they want them out of the house. So after this break, let's dig into it now that we've got it set up, and let's get your perspective on this as someone who's raised a whole boatload of kids and written about it and has one of the best books in the country, The Cornered Cat, dealing with women and guns. We'll be back right after this.
I wish I could say I was shocked to hear the Chicago Tribune report that 56 people were wounded, 11 of them fatally, over the weekend in Chicago. But the reality is we're living in dangerous times. Of the lives that were taken, one belonged to 10-year-old Gustavo, who was simply riding in a car with his dad when he was attacked. Can you believe that? An innocent child. It reminded me of a story I heard recently about a USCCA member, David, whose own young sons were threatened by armed thugs during a trip to the barber shop. David was forced to defend his family with his firearm, killing one thug and wounding the other. The good news is the USCCA is there to help you. They were there to guide David through the devastating aftermath. Visit armedandresponsible.com to hear all the shocking details from David's story and to see the live news footage that captured the very moment he was forced to shoot. And while you're there, discover how you too can protect your family's future from the unthinkable. Just go to armedandresponsible.com. armedandresponsible.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
A Yale-educated pediatric nurse took issue with Dear Abby's response about guns in the home from the letter writer from New Jersey, and I guess read her the Riot Act. And, of course, here's the response from Dear Abby. A large number of readers besides you agreed my perspective was off. I've heard all of you loud and clear, and I apologize. In doing so, Phillips also earned the praise, Phillips is Dear Abby, of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, a group that was initially critical of her advice. And here's what Dan Gross from the Brady Campaign said. Dear Abby has gone beyond just correcting the record. I'm proud to consider her an advocate now, too, said Dan Gross, president of the Brady Center. Our children's safety is something we can all get behind and all speak out for. Kathy, take it away. Kathy Jackson, author of The Corner Cat, my co-author on Lessons from Armed America. Take it away, Mom.
We're asking the wrong question here. The question is not, how do we get other adults to change their behavior? The question is, how do I keep my child safe in a dangerous world? When we start, you know, interrogating other parents, what we're ending up with is there's nothing wrong with checking out where your kids are going to be, who they're going to be with, what that environment is like. But you literally have no control. You can ask the question, but you have no way of knowing whether the answers are truthful, whether the answers are accurate. So you need two layers of protection between your child and any danger. Layer one is to keep the child and the danger apart. You know, that's why we as responsible gun owners, we do lock up the guns that we're not carrying on our bodies. We do lock them up when they're not in use, not ready for armed self-defense. That's keeping the child and the danger apart. That's our first layer of safety. The second layer of safety is teaching the child what to do when they come across the danger. This is no different than putting a fence around a swimming pool with a locking gate and then also teaching your child how to swim. The reason we do that is because sooner or later somebody's going to leave that gate unlocked. We know that sooner or later somebody's going to, the kid's going to be out and about. They're going to be at somebody else's house and somebody else has a swimming pool. They're going to be out and about. There's a lake, there's a stream, whatever. They grow up. We have to both keep the kid away from the danger and also educate them how to stay safe around the danger. And that's where we're falling down as a culture, is we are not teaching our children what to do when they do come across the gun. We're putting all our eggs in one basket, and that basket is failing us.
Stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. Brilliant response. Now, I knew how you were going to respond to that because I've known you for so long. And I say that, let me lead into this. I use this example all the time, Kathy, you know, because I agree with everything you said. I've got a friend who several years ago said to me, hey, man, I need some advice on buying a gun. You know, it's my first time gun. And I said, what do you teach your kids about firearms? Because his kids play with my kids, and they've known each other since they were knee-high to grasshoppers.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I don't have a gun, so I haven't ever taught my kids anything because I haven't had to. And I said, whoa, 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 brother. Yes, you do, because your kids are over here all the time. And I've got lots of guns in the house. And they have guns over there in their house. And Terry has guns in their house. And Jim and Bob have guns in their house. And Karen has guns in her house. You have to assume that there's a gun in every home your child goes to, which goes right back to what you said at the beginning. Make the assumption that that's the case. And then go retro. Teach the kids what to do, because you can't be there all the time to hold their hands. Isn't that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. And, you know, stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. This is something that even a toddler, you know, you start when they're just barely old enough to parrot things back to them. They don't understand at first. It doesn't matter. You teach them that anyway. And as they get older, you talk more about it. What does it mean to stop? What does it mean to don't touch? What does it mean to tell an adult? Who's an adult? Is your teenage babysitter an adult? You know, by the time a kid's 3 or 4 years old, they'll be asking this kind of question. You want to talk to them about it. You want to talk, why do you tell an adult? What is the adult supposed to do? If the adults in your life don't know what to do when they come across a firearm, you've got a problem with your friends, not with your kids. But
well, you know,
don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. This is the message that we give the kids, and we make sure that the kids know this.
You know, I go a step farther with that. That, of course, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the Eddie Eagle program that the NRA has educated millions of children with, that the mainstream press will never tell you exists. But
yeah,
millions of children across the country learn these principles of true gun safety in schools across the country, not taught by the liars and political activists and hacks and the moms wearing orange shirts standing around because they're Facebook friends, but real people who teach this stuff every day like Kathy Jackson does and people like myself and others that talk about this stuff for a living. You know, I go a step further, Kathy. I say stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. And if there's no adult there, I go call 911.
You'll never get
in trouble from me if you have to do that ever. If there's no adult around, your child's life is worth more. Go ahead.
I like that a lot. A lot of times people are like, well, you can't trust the kid, you know, normal curiosity and all of that. I'm a big fan of defanging that normal childish curiosity. So when I go a step further, I'll ask the kid, you know, once they get old enough that they can tell me the rules back and we're starting to talk about what the rules mean, I'll ask the kid, okay, so what do you do when you see a gun that you really, 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 really want to touch? What do you do then? You know, and you ask the kid and they just kind of look at you, you know, caught in the crosshairs, have big eyes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And you say, well, you leave the room, you stop, you don't touch it, you leave the room, and you ask an adult.
See, what you're doing, you're stripping the curiosity, and we've talked about this a lot together. This is the key factor. It's what I want from the takeaway, listener, from what you're hearing on this program today. The takeaway is to rip the curiosity away from the child so that it doesn't even matter to them anymore. They need to know more than the other adult. Than the adult that might make a human mistake. Your children need to know more, and we teach them the truth, and we strip that curiosity from them. And Kathy, the biggest natural question I get from that is, at what age, man? At what age do I do that?
You start as soon as you can, and you keep it up until they are out of the house. This is an ongoing process. It's not a one. You don't have the talk one time with your kids and consider it covered. This is an ongoing thing, just like concealed carry is an ordinary lifestyle. Living with guns, educating your children about firearm safety, whether or not you own guns, but educating your children is the process of raising them, and guns definitely belong as part of that equation, because we do live in a society where half of the households in America have guns. You can't never see a gun, because they might.
Yeah, you have to make that assumption. And with the last about minute we have here, Kathy, probably the way for me to close this out is assume that there's a gun in that house. Go the extra mile. Talk to your children about it. That's the proactive side from your side about it. And the other deal is, look, I don't have a problem talking with my kids' friends' parents about firearms. Why wouldn't I? Here's the deal. We're friends anyway. I don't let my kids go somewhere I have no idea who these people are and I've never met. I get to know the parents of Mike, but maybe that just makes me a good parent better than others. That being said, there are people out there who don't do that. That's why you have to have that conversation with your kids. Kathy, we've got 20 seconds. Take it away. Where can people find all your cool stuff?
You can find all my cool stuff at www.cornerdcat.com. If you have to fight, fight like a cornered cat.
Oh, I love it, and I love you. Thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to bring you to the Monster Show very, very soon. And listener, she jumped on with me literally minutes before we went to airtime because this topic is just so important. Kathy Jackson, thank you for doing everything that you do. I love you to death. Kathy Jackson, cornerdcat.com. I'll be back. Guess who's going to be here? Coincidentally, Rob Pincus, co-author of my other book, Lessons from Unarmed America. We're going to talk mental health and guns, among other things.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
the Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Boy, that was... Time flies. Let me just put it that way. Not enough time with Kathy. Could keep going with her for quite some time. I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to bring her back to the Monster program. It's been too long since she's been on the show, and I want a big shout out to her and a thank you. I mean, she literally jumped on the program with me, agreed to come on about, oh, I don't know, maybe 180 seconds before the program went live. And that just speaks to the quality of the guests that we have, the message that they want to get out. When they know that mic is available to them, they take it and they do it for you. It's education, information, and entertainment for you, responsibly armed Americans. We're going to continue conversation now in a little bit different way with my good friend Rob Pincus, Personal Defense Network, dear friend, somebody I've known for a long time and co-wrote my second book with me, Lessons from Unarmed America. Rob, welcome to the show. Time flies. Let's get on it. You ready?
Yeah, Mark, hey, it's great to be with you today. It's back to work day for me. The tour is over. It took about 10 days to make it back slowly through the wilderness of the mountain states in the Pacific Northwest with the wife and baby in the tour truck doing a bunch of camping, and back at the Western HQ today.
Now, let me ask you something. This arguably has nothing to do with firearms, but I was looking at some of your videos and checking out some of the awesomeness of the photographs of you and your wife and your gorgeous little girl camping out there in the woods. These are primitive sites. I mean, where are you out there? Are you in national parks? Will you just pull off the road? How do you find these places?
Yeah, I like national forests. National forests are great because actually one of the posts I made yesterday, because we drove through Yellowstone, which is a national park. National parks are kind of like they're a little bit Disneyfied, right? It's very much like walk this way, don't walk that way. Everyone look over here, but don't go over here because that's where the puppet masters are, sort of like, you know, turning the steam up on Old Faithful every hour on the hour kind of thing, right? And it's very much controlled. It's funny because I've been to Iceland. In Iceland, they're like, hey, there's a geyser. Try not to burn yourself. It's over there. Here we put up gates and fences and do not walks, and there's patrol, you know, officers all around making sure people can't even begin to risk injury. And that leads to, of course, to me, a very sanitized version of it. You may as well just take me to Epcot Center and put up, you know, Yellowstone World next to France Land and all the other stuff they've got over there. So I like national forests because you just, you know, you're pretty much left alone. Bureau of Land Management lets you do whatever you want out there. You know, fire restrictions, there are obviously a lot of fire restrictions over the last couple of few weeks. But other than negotiating, one night we were in a fire restriction area in Washington State. And other than that, we managed to stay away from the fire restrictions so we could at least have charcoal in the campsites. Usually we had big open fires in the fire ring. And, you know, I carry shovel, axe, water, and we douse them. We take care of them. We don't get too close to the cliffs. We stay on the roads that we're supposed to be on with the truck. But we're knocking down trees quite literally. You know, we're like move where we're putting the winch on deadfall to pull it out of the way. So we really reached some great secluded areas, and that's what those pictures on my personal page are. Is they're really secluded areas. We were next to a big eagle's nest the other morning, and the eagle woke us up screeching and doing its thing, and it's awesome. So that's a good way for me to unwind after 4 months, basically nonstop training on the road. You know, almost 60 classes this year. We had over 100 classes, and you look at all the tour instructors that participated from March to July, and a drive that goes from Florida to New Hampshire, all the way out to the coast in California, and then up to about 300 yards from the Canadian border in eastern Washington at Mike Hughes's place, the Next Level Training Range. Of course, Cert Pistols, everybody knows Mike and Britt and his team. And they host the last class annually of the tour every year. And this year, my wife and baby were out there. It was actually baby Pincus's first firearm use. First time she fired a gun was the last class of the tour this year up at Mike's place. She shot a suppressed XD. So we put a 9mm XDM in her hands with a Silencer Co. Suppressor. And I, of course, helped her, guided a little bit, but just over 2 years old, officially has fired her first shot now.
Well, I was just going to say, let's anger somebody and say, how old is that beautiful little girl?
Well, you know, my older daughter, Christina, she shot in kind of the same way with her mom and I helping her out at 18, just over 18 months. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we're busier, I think, busier than I was 20-something years ago. So it's, but yeah, she was obviously very safe, and we didn't have to worry about hearing protection, but she was wearing eye protection, as was I, and we got the whole thing on video, and it was pretty cute, and she'll have that to look back on. And as Christina looks back on the picture that we took the day she was shooting when she was 18 months old, and of course she doesn't remember it, but it's cool to know that, for her to know that she was introduced to firearm safety and responsibility at an early age. And baby Pincus refers to guns as pew-pews, and my job is daddy's going to work pew-pew.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I know you didn't hear the first part of the conversation, but Kathy Jackson was on the show for the first time in quite some time, and we were talking about that very thing, about stripping away children's curiosity, and the last question I asked her was, what age? So this dovetails really well with that. It just fits in there. And as a parent, you know when the time is right for your child. Some people it might not be 6 years old. Some people it's like your beautiful daughter, 2 years old, 2.5 years old, and it works. And Christina the same way, even younger than your little girl is right now. But
what you've done is
you've stripped the curiosity. You're taking it away from her. So she's growing up understanding firearms.
Right. She knows, you know, we're by no means are we teaching her how to shoot at 2 years old, but acclimating her to the range, acclimating her to the concept. She knows what the guns are. She knows she can see them if they're sitting out. Cert pistols. She has a little toy Nerf gun that she can shoot the Nerf things out of, and she can actually manipulate it. It's a tiny little one, and her hand fits it. She can pull the trigger on it, and she understands what a gun is and that it's something to be asked about in terms of touching it with permission from the adults. And that's now I look at like matches. She now knows matches. We were on these campsites. She knows that matches, she'll say, ooh, fire, dangerous, or ooh, fire, hot. Mm-hmm. Of course, dangerous is it sounds like, you know, two syllables kind of melded together, but we know what she means, and she is aware of that. So just like we teach her about fire because it can hurt her and it's in our environment when we're camping and she knows what matches are, even though I don't think she could strike a match, she certainly couldn't chamber around into a semi-automatic pistol and fire a full-size gun. She can't actuate both the trigger and the grip safety on the XDM, for example, but she is aware of what that is and she's not even supposed to try already, just like she would not touch scissors or not touch fire.
She will grow up and not too long from now be able to say to her friends, I've been around firearms my entire life. She understands the power and the inherent danger in a firearm if mishandled. And she's also going to educate her friends as a result of what she's being taught right now. It's phenomenal, and I love it. And it's if every parent did this, there would be far fewer accidents with children who have never been taught these things. It's really, really good. And I got to tell you what else she does, not just the matches. She also says, 3, 2, 1, and giggles just gorgeous as she gets let go by you on the zip line. So, yeah, Pinkus baby has a zip line too.
Yep. So, so we had a good time. But the responsibility, it's that responsibility of firearms ownership that I think is inherent. And not all parents are equipped to have that conversation with their kids, which is why I've always advocated for this being something we put into the public schools. You know, we talk about drug abuse, we talk about fire, we talk about pollution, we talk about unprotected sex, because those things are all potential threats to our kids. But we don't, for whatever, you know, we don't want to talk about guns because there's politics involved. And it's a shame because the very people that are the most politically motivated, of course, use the fear of children being hurt and the danger that firearms present as their reason to be politically motivated. And yet they miss the really obvious point of education in our community about every other thing that we consider dangerous to kids in the public schools, regardless of whether the parents are educated about it or not. That's what the school system's for. Not every parent is equipped to educate their kids about algebra, physics, drug abuse, or firearms.
You know, and that's boy, so well said, because this is something that should be in every classroom from kindergarten on. Honest to goodness, it should be. We should be doing this. It should be just an inherent part of a kid's education. Listen, let's get into the weeds here. We're going to get ready to take a break here in just a second. When we come back, I want to tackle something kind of provocative with you that you brought up. I want to talk about mental health, right? I wrote a column about taking away grandpa's car keys or dad's car keys. At some point in time, we're all going to be faced with this conversation somewhere down the line. And a lot of people don't like to talk about mental health, but you brought it up to me today and asked if we could discuss it on the radio. And darn it, here you are to talk about it. We're going to get a taste of it now with Rob when we come back from this break. But what you're hearing is a precursor to what's going to be coming about on a larger show with more in-depth and more time and some additional guests. Rob will tell us about it when we come back. Fun stuff to talk about and so, so vital and so important. We don't hear enough about it, except from the politics involved on the other side who use it as a tool against us. We want to get real about it as law-abiding, responsibly armed Americans. Back with Rob Pinkus right after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
All right, Rob Pincus joins me. But before we go back to him, let me send you to armedandresponsible.com. When the unthinkable happens to you, you want to make sure that you have the tools necessary to survive it. And I'm not just talking necessarily about the firearm to save your life. I'm talking about the aftermath of that encounter. Armedandresponsible.com is a site we've put together specifically for you to give you the tools necessary to survive what, boy, God, let me tell you something, a nightmare after the event. Save yourself from financial ruin if you're ever charged. Again, in the happy ending stories, every one of them, I don't care where you read them, you're going to see the last line is going to say, please continue to investigate. So far, there have been no charges. Doesn't matter if it appears to be a clear-cut case of self-defense. You want to make sure that those people who weren't there, that you're able to defend yourself from them after the fact. Armedandresponsible.com. The USCCA has your back. You can check out everything at armedandresponsible.com. Rob, welcome back to the show, brother. Let's dig into this with the final segment. I want to get down into the holes here with you on this because a lot of people don't like to talk about it. Mental health and firearms. And I'll just say this. Not everybody should have a firearm, Rob.
Right. Any responsible firearms owner or anyone educated about firearms knows that there are people who have obviously shown an inability to control themselves in a way where they've done violence to other people. They have violent tendencies. Or you mentioned, you know, taking away granddad's car keys, right? The dementia that might set in. There are all kinds of reasons. My two-year-old, we were talking about kids and guns. You were talking about it with Kathy Jackson. She has, you know, kids. She's raised kids with guns in the house. I've raised kids with guns in the house. I've got a two-year-old now. Why we don't let certain people have free access to guns is obvious, and hopefully we can jump past that part of the conversation and not try to be the you know, pounding on the podium, shall not be infringed, as if that's really a universal thing. We realize there are people who we should reasonably restrict from firearms access.
Let's jump past that right now. How do we start that conversation?
So this morning, the front page of the USA Today has an article about the problem with troops and suicide. And everyone in our community, the gun community, obviously very much overlaps with the veterans community. And many of us have been part of the military at different times or continue to serve or first responders. There's a lot of overlap there with people who have PTSD. And we know about all the organizations that exist to help vets with problems with PTSD, specifically suicide. And this points out that the RAND Corporation, what I think is a politically neutral corporation or organization, the RAND puts together white papers, does a lot of in-depth study, and they're generally viewed as politically neutral. And they've pointed out that they feel that one of the best immediate action steps that someone can take if they know a veteran who has said anything or given any indications that they may be thinking about suicide or having suicidal thoughts is to remove the firearms, remove their access from firearms. That doesn't mean the government, to me, that doesn't mean anyway that the government should sweep in and take away firearms rights. What I think that means and what I'm advocating for is that people seriously consider that there is a moment, and whether that moment is dementia or that moment is someone's drunk or that moment is someone has said, hey, I'm having a really hard time and I've honestly been thinking about taking my own life, where a family member, a friend steps in and says, you know what, buddy, we're going to get you all the help we can. There's all kinds of organizations. I'm so glad you said something to me. You know, let me ask you a question. Would you be okay if just you have any thoughts, you've told me that this is a thing, let's make sure that that's not something you could do in a moment of doubt or weakness because you have too easy access to firearms. And nobody wants to say that in the firearms community, and I know you're going to get the emails and I'm going to get the emails, but mental health professionals have been saying this for years, and we try to put a political spin on it. Do I think the government should sweep in and say anyone who calls a psychiatrist or calls a suicide prevention hotline should have their gun rights taken away? Absolutely not. Do I think there's a time and a place where we know our friends and we know our family members, and it would be reasonable for us to say without a stigma and without a political attack and without saying you're going to lose your Second Amendment rights forever, maybe lock the guns up or let's unload that gun or maybe let me have the key to your safe or maybe put the guns over at my house so we can get this sorted out, and let's get you to a mental health professional. And I had a conversation with a mental health professional this morning who I think you're going to be talking to about having on the Sunday night show, and I'll let you reveal that, make that announcement when it comes up. But he works in this community a lot, does a lot of education on criminal behavior. And I asked him, what's your opinion? He said, at the first utterance or sign, absolutely friends or family members should be taking action to secure the access to firearms. He's on the fence. Should he say that publicly? Because he knows there's potential political backlash. But he made no issue whatsoever. Absolutely, at the first utterance, guns should be collected by family members, because either the person is legitimately saying they're considering it and this is your time to intervene, or they should have consequences for even hinting at it. And those consequences include letting them know that the people in their lives care enough about them to take that kind of drastic action to say, look, we don't want this to be easy. We want you to know that we care about you, and we're gonna try to help you.
All right. You're talking about William April, and incidentally, I just had a text exchange with him during the break. So we are looking forward to bringing him out. He and I are going to talk tomorrow, Rob, and we're going to get back with you, and we're going to bring this on to the Monster program because this is worth discussing. First thing I want to point out is this. We are not talking about lack of due process and a government official coming in and taking your guns with some of what we've talked about on the program before. That's not what we're talking about. And I'll give you an example at a moment. Rob, I'll ask you this question. Let's say you have a brother who's very depressed about a divorce and has been drinking himself silly lately and shows up at your house hammered, and he's upset and he's taking off because he wants to get out of your house because he's enraged. Are you going to hand him his car keys and let him go? We're talking about your brother. We're going to try to take his car keys from him at that moment in time. We're not talking about calling law enforcement to stop him and put him in prison and whatever they want to do to him that's going to destroy his life. That's not what we're talking about, correct? We're talking about a personal one-on-one situation here.
Absolutely, and that's why I think it's so important to talk about it. You know, if we don't talk about it because we're afraid of the political backlash or someone misunderstanding us, we may not be empowering that friend, that fellow gun owner, that fellow veteran to help somebody out in that moment where they're just not in control of themselves. They're not making rational decisions, and they're even telling you that they're worried about what the future might hold for them, or that there may not be a future for them if that continues. Being able to reach your hand out just like you would take the car keys, you know, and I'll say I've been in situations with people in the community who were at, you know, an after class party or over the weekend, or just friends of mine that carry guns. Even people in the community who, you know, I made it a policy many years ago to stop carrying a gun when I knew I was going to be drinking. Now, the occasional, you know, I had a glass of wine, or I'm doing a friend invites me over and says, hey, you got to try this cider or whatever. that's not a night of drinking. That's not going out to dinner with my wife where we know we're going to drink a bottle of wine and I'm going to Uber and all that. If I'm not going to be driving, if in any case where I don't think I should be driving, I don't think I should be carrying a gun. And I pretty much enforce that rule in my social circle. I certainly enforce that rule in my house. And there have been moments where I've had to say to somebody, hey, do you mind if we unload your gun, if we put your gun over here? Kind of like you put the keys in the basket when the people come over, you know, for that party that you're throwing when you're serving alcohol. Same thing. Hey, let's unload the guns at this point, or let's make sure that the guns are secure. You want to secure it in your car? Great. But I don't want you armed and intoxicated in my presence, in my house, with my kids, my family. I don't want that to be the case. And I don't want you to hurt yourself or hurt anybody else. So let's not pull the guns out of the safe at 11 o'clock at night after a long day of hanging out with the barbecue and having some beers or whiskey or wine. And I think that's okay with 99% of the gun owners I know. And I think if we take it seriously enough when people are drinking or when people are taking, I just got an email today. Somebody was talking about taking Percocet. And if they weren't supposed to drive, they felt like they shouldn't arm themselves. And they are asking me, are they being too worried about it? Should they go ahead and carry their gun, even though they've been prescribed Percocet for a pain issue? People deal with this question all the time. It's just nobody wants to talk about it in public, and I think we need to start talking about it more often, especially as much as we do talk about suicide prevention and suicide intervention. There's no doubt that this is one way we might be able to save a couple lives.
You know, what that perfect place to stop right now, because we're getting ready to end this hour. Rob, this is something, let me just set this up. What you just heard Rob talk about is something that we're going to be discussing with William April on a subsequent Sunday Monster broadcast. It may even wind up being this weekend. We're going to try to get our schedules together over the course of the week and find out where everybody's at and see if we can make it work. But we want to talk about this beforehand. We want to get over the politics of this and talk about it in our personal lives, maybe with people that we know. Rob, great place to start the conversation. We're going to do it here on Armed American Radio. Rob Pincus, Personal Defense Network. You can find him everywhere. Just Google his name. You know where to find him. In the meantime, until we meet tomorrow, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. I'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Provocative stuff.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.